What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sith Council. Thank you so much for joining us for these rewatches, whether you're watching on the YouTubes or if you're going on audio and you're downloading us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. Even if you are watching on YouTube, you should do that to help out the show. Because I think we're pretty good in the car. Well, it's me and Steph, Chicken Man, not here today. We don't need him because we're talking about Return of the Jedi. It is the third episode ever come out in the theaters, but the sixth in order. But it's not. It's our, I think, eighth episode of these rewatches. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's me, Steph Sabra. And before I even get into that, I want to let you guys know, before we get into our intro today, you've seen the great animation that we've had on this show many times over, whether from the days of Schmotoons or getting into the wrestling video that we did on this channel. But, you know, besides me just telling you about it, check this out.
Yo, what up, Schmoville? It's your boy, Diesel Time. Some of you are familiar with my work on the Schmotoons and the Wrestling Fairy Tales animations, but my one true passion project is my comic book, Kalaka, based off of the graphic novel that I wrote in Mexico City about a luchador who takes on the drug cartels to clean up the Lucha Libre Federation. And don't take my word for it, ask Kalaka.
Oye, it is I, Kalaka. I was betrayed by my wrestling partners of the Capital City Federation, who are in bed with the disgusting drug cartels, El Cinturón. But with your help, we can uncover the truth of the corruption in the Lucha Libre and return Mexico to glory. Hi!
Thanks for that, Kalaka. The Kickstarter is going on from Friday, October 1st until November 2nd, the Day of the Dead. If you'd be interested in checking out a comic book that neither DC or Marvel is gonna bring to you, something with luchadors and drug cartels battling it out in the streets for justice, then go on over to Kickstarter and look for Kalaka Life After Death by Diesel Tom. Thank you so much. Peace.
So that's our boy Diesel Time. He's done so much great stuff for us, and he's so talented. So anyway, go check him out. Link is in the description. But let's get into why we are here today, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Return of the Jedi. It's the deep dive. Let's do it.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sith Council, Return of the Jedi, Episode 6. It's some people's favorite movie out of all of them.
This girl.
Who?
This girl right
here.
Oh,
you?
Here.
I was talking about Mark Ellis, but I guess you too. I guess you too. Steph Sabra is here for us to talk about this movie, getting into it. It's so funny with this movie. I watched it last night. It's a very easy watch.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. It just goes very fast. And I forget, because every time I go through my list of, like, favorite Star Wars movies, I always, like, bounce it around. And I at one point I had, like, Rogue One over it, but I don't anymore. After watching it, there's just too much great stuff in this film. Like, there's a lot of great stuff. There's some stupid stuff that they... That doesn't help with the special edition. Stupid song in the beginning. It's so stupid.
It's so unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary. It's like it's just taking the prequel stuff and the prequel stuff, which is consistent throughout the movie.
Yeah.
So it works. But it just throws into this thing. They were just trying to do this type of animation. I don't like it. But I love this. I love the overall scene. Jabba's palace. Like Luke is a bad dude, by the way. He's not Luke. Luke is not your typical Jedi. He is playing around with the dark side, choking out the Gamorrean. Even my daughter watches. She goes, Did he just force choke the Gamorreans? And I was like, no, I just pushed him because I don't know why. I don't know why I lied to her, but but I did. I lied to her.
Instinct coming of truth moment.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this movie, I was going to say, so Empire Strikes Back is the best made Star Wars movie.
Yes.
This is my favorite Star Wars movie because it has the most amount of moments that I think about and love dearly by far.
Yeah.
Just so many.
So many great moments, and it's the... It's the overall arc of Darth Vader finally him and two, and it's, you know, they definitely and another thing that the unnecessary is the no unnecessary. He just in the original versions he
just once, right?
No, there's nothing. Oh. He just looks over, picks him up, chucks him into the thing. I think that's way more powerful than no. It's we get that it's no. That's why you're throwing him into the thing.
The only thing worse was the Obi-Wan scream.
I don't know if it's worse.
Really?
Because the Obi-Wan scream is just a, like I said, it's a drunk NASCAR fan just screaming woo! But then it's gone. It doesn't affect. It's still the same
power.
Yeah, it's still the same reason for why he's screaming in the bed. It's to distract the sand people and have him run away. This takes away from the fact that he doesn't. First of all, if he says no, Emperor would be like, bad.
Yeah,
you know,
doesn't care.
Yeah, he says it twice. He goes, no, bad. No, and it's just ripped off from the Revenge of the Sith line that everyone didn't like. But anyway, those are a couple. And if we hit into the problems of the things in the movie themselves, it's not that I don't like the Ewoks, because it talks about how stupid some people feel the Ewoks are stupid. I like the Ewoks. I think it's a good thing that they stumble upon these kind of primitive creatures. Although how they are able to bring in the catapults and all this stuff that fast in, you know.
They move.
But these stormtroopers, my elite force is down there. That's your elite force? They got beaten in the head with rocks.
Oh, yeah. They're not the smartest.
Where's Gideon's people?
They're not the brightest.
No. And their armor is just wear boxer shorts at this point. It's like the same thing's going to happen. The other question I had, though, that also doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And this is why I think it's a tricky situation. It's been confirmed but not confirmed, and the audience can tell me out there. So you know when they are going to invade the base, and the rebels kind of there's like that old man standing out there.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be Rex, is what. So people were saying, is that Rex? And then I think Filoni had confirmed it and showed him in his gear from Rebels. Correct me if I'm wrong out there. From what I remember is that Filoni confirmed that that was Rex. The problem is, he knows a lot. Rex knows a lot. He knows a lot about Ahsoka. He knows a lot about all this stuff. Why isn't he talking to people about Ahsoka? If it's the case, if it's never really been confirmed, then great. If it has been confirmed with all this stuff going on with Rebels and all this stuff going on with Bad Batch and all that, I used to be all for it being Rex, but after seeing him now, it's like let's not make it Rex because it's too
it's
too complicated.
Yeah.
The old timer who fought in the Clone Wars has a question. Yeah, you know, there's Ahsoka. Luke, you probably should know about her. You're not the only Jedi left, so I just want to let you know.
Rex has seen everything.
Seen everything. I know your dad. I know all this. And let me help you. You know, maybe it's Anakin. Wow, let me help you out. Like,
no, yeah, I would rather believe it's not.
Yeah,
because it wouldn't make any sense.
No, and that has nothing to do with the actual overall thing with Return of the Jedi, the film itself,
no.
As it was made. But it's just now that there's so much lore, because even like you had mentioned on one of the shows beforehand. When Obi-Wan's telling him, he's like, your father was already a strong pilot when I knew him. Okay. He was a kid. He was a strong pilot. So I'll let that pass. It's not the first thing you think of. You probably think of him, you know. And then he says, it was so powerful. I took him upon myself to train him. Well, that's not true.
Yeah. You really didn't want to.
And no mention of your of Qui-Gon whatsoever. That, you know. So that clearly was something that was invented later on. So, but that has nothing to do with Return of the Jedi in general. It just happens to do with as the prequels were being made and everything too. It was like, yeah, we can go away from that. And I never understood why they did that. Like, why not just play it? Like, Qui-Gon's a great character. Make him not involved in that part of the story. You should go off of what you set up in Return of the Jedi, which I thought was a great scene. And people are like, well, he's sitting on logs. He's a ghost. Yeah, but we also, that I do like what they did in the new trilogy, is that you can see that there is, they can affect matter. They can do stuff. And if, you know, and if he's tired, he does a force ghost sit. It's fine.
You're saying in the prequels, you would have preferred Qui-Gon not even being introduced as a character?
No, he could have been a character, but like
not his master.
Not the one that maybe he's the one, maybe he is his master, but he advises him not to take on Anakin. You know, and he's like, this guy's a good pilot, and I think he's got the force around him, and because Obi-Wan is just sitting on the ship for half the movie, and it's Obi-Wan who says in this film, Jedi, that he was the one who took it upon himself to train him, and it's like, no, you were forced to train him because your master took him, and then you decided to, but that wasn't in the works when this movie came out.
Do you think that it's because, and I'm not exactly sure, like, is this the most popular franchise to have, like, a prequel setup. Like, do you think that they thought that people wouldn't be paying this much attention to the way that the sequence was lining up at the end of the day?
I think he probably thought they'd be a little bit more forgiving at that point.
Yeah, but not realizing what he had created.
No. It's like, yeah, they'll get over it. No.
It's like the most important movie franchise of all time.
And he only thought he was going to make 6, and that was the end of it. Or some people say he always had 9 in mind, but who knows. But anyway, the movie itself, when it starts out, and I messed up this morning. Can you, your mic, can you just adjust it towards your this part of it? Yeah, because I usually aim it to make sure it's
there.
Yep, so great. That way we can hear you. So Tatooine starts, well, it doesn't actually even start off with Tatooine. It starts off with Vader coming in and telling them that they need, I love this scene.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff with Vader, all the stuff with the Emperor. Just how, even the reconstruction with the Death Star, even though it's like, okay, we're doing another Death Star. And it's like they took them like 15 or 20 years to build the last one, and this one had taken 3. It's not fully built. It's halfway built. It's kind of a mess. But they have the plans. They've done it before, so it's probably easier to figure out. They probably still have enough kyber crystals to do it. So that one I was way more forgiving of. Okay, that's fine.
If your plan is world or galaxy domination, you would make another. You would make another Death Star.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm more forgiving on that because I feel like that's a good idea.
If they have the plans and they're able to do it again, the question is how many of these things can they make?
Yeah,
right. And it says, okay, well, it was less about the Death Star, even though it's a big part of the mission. Obviously, it was less about the Death Star and more about the fact that the Emperor was on the Death Star.
Yeah,
so. And he thinks this entire time he's got this whole plan. And I still don't, I never am going to understand why Luke throws his lightsaber. Why does he do that?
That is might be my least favorite part about the movie.
Why would you
do that?
Keep your weapon on you.
You don't have to continue battling your father, but yeah, you just don't want to keep your weapon on you when there's this like freaky old Sith Lord.
No, done with this. What are you doing? Pick that up.
When Vader should have said no.
Yeah, right. He's like, hey, idiot, take my saber. What are you doing? That would have been great if he picked up if he used the Force and used the red saber to block it. But I never understood that. And that's why people will go, well, see, so he has thrown the lightsaber before because the Last Jedi. It's like very different reasons why he's doing it. And this one, he's doing it because he's saying, no, I'm just proving the aggression's gone, buddy. She's like, yeah, well, Ian McDermott kills it.
Oh yeah, he's just born for this role. It's unbelievable.
He's like so young in this too. He's like I don't even think he's 40 years old in this.
The makeup department is so good.
Yeah, I think that he looks so much better, and like he looks like decayed, as where in Revenge of the Sith he looks like a monster.
Yeah,
like he looks decayed. He just looks like the Force has withered him down. But like the stuff that he's saying, just like what is it you will bring him to he will come to you and you will bring him to me. And, like, even when Vader goes, he will come to me, like, it's the best scene. I love that scene because you can see that we saw the conflict in Vader throughout it. Like, even that, we always talk about it on this show. It's the reason we started doing these rewatches is how is it going to tie in? Out of all of the original trilogy, this one ties into Obi-Wan the most.
Well, yeah, definitely. Especially how Darth Vader is going to play into it because you can see that conflict in him and Obi-Wan, I feel like, has been watching Luke through this whole journey, so he's getting to see that through him, too, and I wonder if that's brought up at all.
When I used to talk about this on Jedi Council and whatever show is on, that when they were talking about an Obi-Wan movie, and I said, and the second they announced it, I said, Vader's got to be in it. And, oh, people would give me so...
You idiot.
They gave me so much crap stuff, like, Vader, he won't be in it. It makes no sense for Vader to be in it. And I'm like, it makes all the sense in the world if you watched Return of the Jedi. Because in Return of the Jedi, Luke says to him, there's still good in you. I feel that. And he says, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. When in the prequels do we see that? He didn't. Not in that scene. He was going there to kill him in that scene. He had a couple conversations with him. He never said, come on back. He had that one thing when he said to him, you were sent to destroy the Sith, not join them. But that's not trying to say there's still good in you. Because Padme tells him that there's still good.
Yeah.
And we don't see him ever talk to him ever again. Because while she's dying, there's still good in him. She tells Obi-Wan that. And he's like, I don't know. Right? So at some point, when he is on Tatooine, something's got to happen where it snaps him out of it. It's eating him up inside that he had to do this to this kid who looked like his brother, his best friend. And what Padme said to him, there's still good in him. And he tries. And that ultimately, when they battle again, he realizes the line that he says to Luke in this movie, he's more machine now than man. Like, and I can understand the argument of when I left you, I was but the learner, now I am the master. You can still play that into, like, Anakin, and you can play that into flashback scenes and how that's going to play out. That's from episode 4. But the stuff that they set up in this movie, they can easily tie that back to the series of Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's so many playback moments, and I think that it's not even just fan. It's not even close to fan service. I feel like it's doing the characters justice. Like, if we're going to get this show with two of the most talked about characters of all time, Obi-Wan, and now we know Darth Vader's going to be in it, you have to explore that, the emotional side of their friendship, their bond, and when he turned, how much he believed in him. And I feel like there might be a moment where Darth Vader's like, you gave up, you know what I mean? And I chose this because there wasn't anyone left.
So there's a comic, I think it's the Star Wars run, actually might be the Darth Vader, the second Darth Vader run. But there's a great scene where Vader starts to envision himself going back to Obi-Wan and going back to the light. And they have like this kind of battle, and then it you know, obviously doesn't happen. But it's canon, and he's been contemplating, and it's been in his head, you know. So I think that also is going to lead up to it, because there is also that, I mean, Obi-Wan at this point in Return of the Jedi, when he's talking to Luke, has just given up on Vader. I mean, he even basically tells you, he's like, I can't kill my father. And his response is, well, then the Emperor's already won. You can't kill your pops. It's not like, hey, I'm not telling you not to kill him. I'm telling you, go in there, have a conversation, try to turn him back. No, he says, I can't kill my father. And Obi-Wan responds, then the Emperor is won. Basically, if you can't kill him, then it's over.
And you're not a Jedi.
Yeah. And that's what that, well, so because that Yoda scene kills me in a funny way. I still love it, but it's like, he goes there to visit Yoda, and Yoda tells him that his training is more or less complete. Whatever, he's good to go. But he's popping around. And he's making soup, and he's just like, oh, when 900 years old you'll be, so look you this guy, whatever he says, and he's fine. Then he just decides he's gonna die. He just says,
"Yeah, I know.
I'm exhausted. I'm gonna die now."
It's A, relatable, but B, I wasn't ready, and it was just, it plays into the humor part of Yoda, where I'm like, of course you'd go like that, randomly, when it, you just are when like, he wants this to. Is the time.
He's right. You know what? Yeah, I had my soup. My soup came out good, and now I'm going to die.
It's a pretty good last meal.
Yeah, I think I took a little Yoda dump. I had myself a little Yoda bowl. Smoked a little Sheba, had some good soup, and now it's time to disappear.
It's like, Luke, come here.
Yeah.
I'm lit.
Yeah, I am stoned. I'm so stoned. I'm going to say your name 70 times right now. Luke. Luke. He says, Luke. Keep saying Luke. He's like, right here, you little turd.
It's like, you stop wasting your breath on my name.
Luke. Just spit it out. But it's a great scene. I love the scene. And
everything with Yoda is like perfect.
It's great. But what I really love about that scene was when he says to him, he goes, "Is Darth Vader my father?" And he like rolls over. He's like, "Ah, time to go to sleep now." He's like, "Come on, man. Tell me, like, you gotta tell me." And he goes, "Your father, he is." And then he says, unfortunate this is. And he's like, that he told me the truth? He's like, no. Unfortunate that you didn't complete your training, that you rushed off to fight him, that you didn't do it. And Luke has a very honest moment. He's like, I'm sorry. You know, yeah, I should have. That's what I should have done, but I didn't. Great. It's a great scene between them. And then, Luke, there is a that Scott. What? And then he goes.
It was perfect.
Yeah, and then he goes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first saw that death scene, it did give me a more, because death is the weirdest thing ever, I think, for everyone. We don't understand it. But that actually gave me some peace about, like, oh, maybe it's like we don't understand when it's at the time, but right. When it is, it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, his last, there is a lot of exposition with those scenes with Luke, but I don't mind that at all.
I don't mind it either. Yeah, I love that. All the mythology and all the stuff, that it's the best part of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
The stuff that there's, like, it's funny that I don't feel that Harrison Ford is phoning it in at all in this one. Han, though, is the goofiest out of the three movies that he's in. He's the goofiest in this one.
I agree. I also think that, so Han is, to me, the standout in the first two movies.
Right.
Just personality-wise, character-wise, he's just like, there's so much depth to that character. The third movie, I feel like, Return of the Jedi has the most depth for Leia and Luke.
Yeah.
So I think that part of it is that we're focusing on that, and Han's is in the backseat.
It is, and I think that, and it's famously known that he wanted to die in Empire. He didn't want to be in this one. He thought he should have died, and thought it would have added more stakes to the character. So when he was in it, I don't know if he didn't really know what he was doing there, because, like, even when he's in the beginning, when he steps on the branch, he's like, ooh. And it's like he does a lot of goofy things throughout. You know, he does some Han Solo stuff, but there's some great great moments with the three of them. It's what this movie does classically well in Star Wars is those kind of, like, not only like the side adventures that people have, but also you get to see the big three together working together. You know, Luke and Han and Chewie together in that moment with the dead animal, and he's always stinking with your stomach. And I love,
oh yeah,
I love, like, can you get my lightsaber? Yeah, sure. And he just gives up. And then the stuff with C-3PO with the being the golden god. And then they ultimately get back to Leia. Like, it's like they're briefly together, but when they are, it all works, right? When they're in the village, the Ewok village together. And I love that when C-3PO is telling the story of basically recapping the trilogy for us. All that stuff just really works. And then you have the moments where Luke, as you're mentioning, Luke and Leia outside, and after Luke has that conversation with Obi-Wan on Dagobah, where he's like, Yoda spoke of another one. He's like, the other one he spoke of was your twin sister. And he goes, and he starts to think about it, realizes it's Leia, and that whole conversation of your instincts serve you well, but be careful because they'll use it against you and all that. It all plays in, and it all it's gorgeous on how that all goes down. And then there's that moment where, and I was obviously going to the beginning of our conversation with how it ties into the lore, where they're standing and says, what do you know your mother? And she says, you know, I very brief, just images and things of that nature. I think of her, she was very sad, very beautiful, all that. And there is a moment in the comic book where she goes back in the Leia comic. She goes to Naboo, and she has, like, images, and it basically explains that scene of how she knows that. And Luke goes, I have no memory of my mother, like, whatsoever. Like, at all. So that stuff, but that's not going to be, if you didn't read that comic, you could probably say, well, yeah, I don't, how does she know anything about her mother?
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like it would make, yeah, I haven't read that comic. I want to read that one. That sounds interesting, because Luke didn't ever, like,
never had any images or anything.
Yeah. Nothing. No. Never brought up the mom. But I love what you were saying. Like, it's more episodic, this movie. I feel like this set, like, the groundwork for, like, a Clone Wars type. Like, there's multiple episodes that go on. What happens in Tatooine and Endor is some of my favorite stuff. Like, the entire, I know there's problems with the Sarlacc pit, but, like, going to get Han Solo, unfreezing him in carbonite when she's dressed as a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
I just, like, I'm like, yes, Leia.
It's also ballsy. Because that scene, again, very similar to what we talked about with New Hope, is that you're with the droids in New Hope for, like, I think, like, the first 13 or 14 minutes or something like that, and which is super risky when it's the first movie ever and you're asking people to invest in droids. But this is also, it's a long movie. It's like 2:16 or whatever it might be. But the first like 20 minutes is all Jabba's palace. And it all works. I mean, there's the and Boba Fett doing the thing with the, as in the middle of this crisis, like, you know, as the bounty hunter comes in, he's flirting with the with the girls on the side. It's like, come on, that's what are we doing here?
He was full on flirting. Like, they can't even see his face.
I'm so this, but talking about tying into things besides tying into Obi-Wan, it's tying into the Book of Boba Fett.
Oh my gosh, so much. You can't, like, when you rewatch the Sarlacc pit scene, also, you have to think they probably didn't realize his character was going to be that famous because the way he went out.
Went like a bitch.
Yes. Yeah. Like, by half blind
screaming.
Han Solo.
Screaming as he hits the side of the thing.
Yeah. And then he's like fully swallowed, though. You can see it.
Which is in the. That's why. That was my question. Because in the non specialized versions, that stupid plant face isn't there.
Yeah, they shouldn't have.
There's no plant face. It's just that big
looks like
hole.
A Venus flytrap.
That's it. And I'm assuming because it's a specialized version, they're going to use that. So how does he get out? Right? You assume maybe it actually might play more on. It might help the explanation of how he got out because if he's in that thing's face and he blasts through it, you know,
like
on the way out,
like boots.
Then maybe that's an explanation on how.
Jetpack, yeah.
Definitely going to play into that. It also, this is why when they hired that deepfake guy for a lot of different things and how much of they're going to use him for the Boba Fett series, I don't know, but they're definitely going to use, you would assume, I don't say definitely, but they're definitely going to, they could possibly use him for the Anakin flashback scenes. Which
would be amazing.
Which would not be that hard to do.
No. No, he's both of them. We've said have barely they've aged really well.
Yeah. So as far as the other stuff that goes, the lightsaber fight in this one, like there's some great Vader lines again. You are unwise to lower your defenses and tosses the thing at him. Like there's pure anger going on throughout the whole. Luke is such a people are always talking about Luke and how as we did in the beginning of this episode where he dabbles on the dark side, right? And he's able to use both because he uses aggression and power and anger to defeat his father, to do the stuff in both sides of, like, after he gets all pissed off, he's like, never! That's, like, aggression. That's the way of the Sith, what he does there. But he wins, and then he just takes himself back. So he uses it for good. So is that, like, that perfect balance of use the aggression, use the power, use the hate, but scale it back, Jack?
Yeah, have boundaries.
That's what he did. I mean, and not a lot of Jedi were able to do that. A lot of Jedi, once they went down that path, they just kept going down that path. And he was able to turn
this
around.
This is, to me, my favorite Luke ever. Yeah. It's just an unbelievable character arc where at first he's, like, annoying and a little complaining, but this is, like, badass. Like,
he's just, like, totally his
own character. He's taken Obi-Wan and Yoda and mixed kind of their theology in life. And then all just like the stuff with Darth Vader when he looks at his hand and looks at Darth's.
Right. And realizes that's how snaps him back. He's like, I'm not doing that.
That scene is so cool.
Right. Yeah. It's great. And it also makes me realize that I love the way that Jedi are portrayed in the original trilogy the most because they're not superheroes.
Yeah.
And
they're flawed.
But like their powers, right? Like, so in the beginning in because Luke's plan, by the way, it's not great. It's not a great plan. Because first of all, he offers up the droids he's like, I give you a gift. These two droids. What if Jabba was like, okay, are you going to go back on your deal? Like what if Jabba was like, good deal. Works for me. You can have him back and let me keep the droids. Is he giving away the droids?
Yeah, then what?
Then what? It's like you just...
Those are your babies.
Jabba just said, okay, because if you don't and then you murder him, then you're a murderer. And he's just... And Jabba was like, okay, Jabba messed up. And maybe that's ultimately what Luke knew was Luke, because Luke, the visions of the future, Luke knew he ain't going to take the deal. But I'll offer it to him because he ain't going to take it. And that's going to lead to us doing this. And then I've foreseen all this stuff. We're out. I'll take it. Fine.
Yeah.
But... So he's standing over the thing, and C-3PO says to him, you're standing over the... stays there, doesn't move. And then he gets dropped into with the Gamorrean. But the superhero Jedi that we saw in the prequels wouldn't have fallen into that thing. They would have leapt back, jumped back up or grabbed. And I know that he's not as developed yet. I get all of that. I understand. But he's still doing a lot of different things,
well,
right?
Well, he did a flip off of the plank.
Right.
For the Sarlacc pit.
Right. So those kind of moves I love. Right?
Yeah, that was off the, like,
it was off the plank. Yeah, and he used it. And then when he's down there with the Rancor and the Rancor's coming after him, he's got to hide under stuff. He's not just tossing stuff around and smashing them with stuff. Or he doesn't even use his force to bring down the gate, which I don't understand. He throws a rock at it. Okay. But that kind of stuff, like, you know, the where it's not always working, no matter how powerful you are, like, that's when I think the Jedi are most, it's like, they're not superheroes. They just know how to use, like, that's why I also like the philosophy of everybody has access to the Force, but not everybody can access the Force. Like, that, like, its Force is in everybody, but the Jedi are the ones, and Sith are the ones who can access it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love, and sometimes they're all human. Right, it's just like some of these. Sometimes the, like, even when you see, like, in, like, the stuff that happens in the new trilogy, is that there's just two. It they turn more into superheroes, and I like the idea of them being like humans who can access the Force.
Yeah, where there's like a cap of where they can really go with it. I think that they wanted to make the Sith more powerful. And it's like, how can you compete against someone shooting out electricity if you're.
But you didn't even know that until the end.
Yeah.
That's why, because that's a great point though, because we've seen all that stuff lead up to where Vader's powerful. He can throw things. He can do all that stuff. Sure. But he still can get struck on the arm and struck and he's not avoiding stuff in episode 4 when those big things close, he can't open it up. They just lock on him. Right. Because even in the, you know, he doesn't stick a saber through it and burn the thing down. It's locked. Can't do anything about it because it's too powerful for even him to move. But we lead up to the Emperor, and we haven't seen him do anything. So when he finally does, it's like, they can do that?
Yeah.
Because we know now, because if you've watched the prequels at this point leading up to 6, then you know that he can do that.
Yeah.
But if you've never seen it before and then he does that, it's a major impact.
That's true. That is a massive impact. Because when I first saw that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
This guy can do that. I can see why the dark side's so alluring.
Yeah, right. He's just firing lightning. And now, young Jedi, you will die. Like, he's so confident.
Got
so many. He's like, so be it, Jedi. And this the stuff that he says, the back and forth, it's like, your overconfidence is your weakness. And it just shoots back, right, real quick. Your faith in your friends is yours. Like, just everything he says. Oh, I'm afraid that it will be quite operational when your friends arrive. Just toying with him the whole time, sitting in that throne.
He's sick.
He is.
He's sick.
Yeah.
But I loved, speaking of that scene on Tatooine, the Rancor. That looked so, it still looks so good. It's unbelievable.
And I like the trainer who's coming in.
Shirtless.
Yeah, right. But everybody knows his name, but I don't. I'm sure it's a Star Wars question, Baba Booba, whatever his name is. And what I love about that moment is he's, Ponda Baba, is that his name? I don't, if I got that right, I'm impressing myself. Check if his name is Ponda Baba.
Okay.
I might be right. And he comes running in, and there's Luke, and his buddy goes to choke Luke out, and he's like, nah, don't choke this guy out. Let's just cry over the Rancor.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, you know, the guy defended himself. They don't go after Luke. They leave him alone.
I don't think that's the name.
Wasn't Panda Bama?
I look up a Rancor.
Yeah. But just put a Rancor's trainer.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Very curious to see
Malakili.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Who the hell is Panda Bomba? Panda Baba is the one from episode 4. Yeah. Oh, everybody was yelling at me while I was so proud of myself that I remembered it.
God damn.
This is why now when you ask why I don't compete in the Star Wars division, or never did. That's why I don't remember names. I don't remember anything. Like, I don't remember names when people, like, I am the worst at, like, parties. Like, if you introduce me to your friend, like, this is give me one of your friend's names.
Rachel.
Probably within an hour, I'm going to come back to you and go, wait, what was your friend's name? I'm terrible with names. And
Well, yeah. Especially because they don't even, a lot of the names are never spoken.
Said, yeah, but I mean, there's still, but from considering, knowing all the stuff, the amount of time I've talked about Star Wars, people would just think I would automatically know all the names. I don't. And I never will, so don't expect me to. I can tell you, I know very well, like I can tell you the things that they say and the lore, and the lore is always the thing that attracted me. The ship names and blaster models and all that, I'm right over my head, out in one ear, right out the other one. But it's the lore, it's the story that has always intrigued me about it, and the mythology, and anything, and that's why this one works so well for me. So I think that we're going to do a thing at the end after we finish our entire rewatch where we're going to rank these movies, and I'm forewarning everybody that the way we're going to rank them is not as far as best quality films. Mm-hmm. It's how we enjoy them the most.
Yes.
So if, you know, after this rewatch, so if there's a certain movie that we think is made better than the other one, we'll probably say that inside of the ranking, but it doesn't mean it's going to beat it inside of the ranking. As far as how we like it. Like this one probably right now probably jumps back to number, because we're not putting the series in here, because if you're putting the series, like the Mandalorian in there, then Mandalorian to me jumps right after Empire.
Wow.
It goes New Hope, I mean Empire, New Hope, Mandalorian, season 2, then season 1, and then this.
Wow. I love that show, but I don't know if I'd put it above. But I would definitely go Return, Empire, New Hope.
Yeah, I'd put it above. There's just so much I love about that show.
The show rocks.
And it keeps going. And it just keeps moving. So we'll see. I mean, it's funny how those seasons could also drop down depending on how anytime a movie or a show ends badly, then it'll hurt.
Yeah.
It'll hurt the overall product. I don't think see that happening, but we'll see. And Obi-Wan could. I think Obi-Wan has the possibility to jump really high.
Me too. That one is just because that one will be like a really long movie.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. You know what else I'm excited for, Steph?
Huh.
It is time to tell you guys about Shudder. I don't know if you know about Shudder. If you don't know about Shudder, let me tell you about Shudder, because we've been with them now for a little bit, and summertime, it's over. There's a chill in the air. Spooky season has arrived, and it's time to watch scary movies. There's no better place for horror than Shudder. It kicked off its annual 61 Days of Halloween, which is a two-month supersized celebration full of new movies and series, like a new season of Creepshow, VHS 94, which is the brand new installment in the acclaimed found footage anthology franchise. And that's just the start of Shudder's unbeatable Halloween lineup. There are new specials from Elvira and Joe Bob Briggs, a new season of the Bullet Brothers Dragula, their new docuseries Behind the Monsters on the origins and pop culture dominance of your favorite modern movie monsters. There's so much more. Slasher, Flesh and Blood is out there, Carrie, Superhost, Martyrs Lane, Creepshow, Elvira's 40th anniversary, Very Scary, Very Special, Seance, VHS 94, Joe Bob's Halloween, Hoedown, The Medium, The Bullet Brothers, Dragula, Behind the Monsters. Shudder, you can stream great thrillers, horrors, suspense for $5.99 a month or $56.99 a year. Shudder's got the largest, fastest growing curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. It's basically the Netflix of horror. The first time I heard about it was through Bibbiani and Clark Wolf. They raved about it. It is definitely a place where a lot of Schmodown competitors study their horror films, I'll tell you that. There are new supernatural terrors, edge-of-your-seat thrillers, and shocking horrors added every week. You'll have unlimited access to stream ad-free on all your favorite devices. Shudder has a unique collection of exclusive and original films and series. There's horror classics and blockbuster hits. Some of the devices that you could stream on are iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Xbox One, Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, Roku, Android devices, all of it. So it's a lot of fun. And I remember when Bibbs and Clark told me about it, and I started checking it out, and it absolutely lives up to its moniker of the Netflix of horror. There is, I mean, Carrie is the one that I always remember seeing that one as a kid, and going back to check that out and seeing there. It's a nostalgia, but it's also got the originals. It's pretty fun. It's got so much content. a very extensive, like, international library, a range of genres, type of movies. So if you're not just into the slasher stuff and you like thrillers, they got it. You get started streaming the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content. Shudder's expertly curated collection includes must-see titles like the Mortuary Collection and PG, Psycho Gorman, plus all the best horror documentaries and the hit Creepshow TV series. From Greg Nicotero, by the way, from Walking Dead fame. To try Shudder free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use the promo code SITH, S-H-U-D-D-E-R. Use that code SITH. Please go ahead and do that. The link is in the description, and that is Shudder. Forget it. You've been getting into horror more these days.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a scary journey.
It's
for
a
me.
Thing. So you're like me though. You got to find the ones that you like good storytelling.
Yeah. Exactly. Like sometimes I think it's one of the strongest forms of storytelling when it's done.
When it's done right.
But when it's not, I'm like, so I just got so scared for this ending.
Which one?
No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of them where you're like, that's why you became a mass murderer.
Right. And well, because that's what's so great about Shudder is that they have such an extensive library.
Yeah, there's got to be so many great
titles. A lot of good titles. Anyway, jumping back to Return of the Jedi, the mission. Oh, so what do you think? Because I know you're a big Hayden stan.
Yeah, I am.
What do you think? My daughter loves it, but what do you think about the fact that they used Hayden as the Force ghost at the end of this?
I go back and forth all the time. Sometimes I feel like if we're gonna just make this an entire family of movies forever stuck together, then that was a good decision. And sometimes I think, which a lot of people want to just think of these 4, 5, and 6 as standalones, then maybe you shouldn't have, and you should have detached yourself from it a little bit.
I don't mind it, but I mind the image they used of him.
Oh,
he's doing creepy stare in the beginning. if you look in the beginning, he's like this. He's not. He finally smiles at the end of it, but he's like doing creepy stare.
You
like
think
he
they
did.
Had like long, not a long enough video clip.
I don't know what I don't. It's like bring him in to do some stuff. You know, it's like pay him a little to come in and smile a little bit more, right? Or redo it now and put him in there now. And it's like it's that same creepy look he gives Padme in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Like, okay, my lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that.
Oh, when she's staring. When
she's like,
out.
I don't like the way you're looking at me. This is weird. He's like, sorry, my lady. And it's like creepy. In the second one, third one, he's fine, but because he's got the long hair that he had in Revenge of the Sith in this one,
yeah,
which I do like how they tie it back together. I don't mind him being put in that role in that image. It's just that Yoda's like looks all happy and Obi-Wan's like yeah, I'm proud
and
of
then
you, buddy.
He's like,
yeah, it's
I think it, like last night I loved it because I was just it's so a. Like the last 5 minutes are just the best feel good moments ever.
Yeah,
it's a party.
It's great. And then you have Lando and there's that moment that Lando and Han have about he tells him take the Falcon, do it. He's like, I'm not gonna get a one scratch on her. He's like and he's like, yeah, I got your word, right? Not one scratch. He's like, get out of here, you pirate. And I was trying to remember because in the beginning, after they rescue Han, and Luke goes off to Dagobah, and they kind of split off.
Yeah.
Are they in the Falcon?
I don't think so, because I think Lando has the Falcon.
Well, but Lando's with them.
Oh, yes, they are.
Are you sure?
I think so.
I wanted to go back and rewind it, because I wasn't sure. So there's only, if they are in the Falcon, it is the only time in the movie that Han is in the Falcon at all. In the entire movie.
Saying when they left Tatooine.
When they're leaving Tatooine.
Okay, yeah.
And Luke, Luke's in the, is off in his X-Wing. He goes off and he splits off to go back to Dagobah to go see Dying Yoda. And then the other ship goes off. Because I wanted to make this point today and I said, I got to go back and rewind and see because I don't remember. If they are in the Falcon, it's the only time that Han is in the Falcon at all. And the only time in any of the movies that he's alive in that he is not in the Falcon. Because he's in it in episode 4. He's in it in episode 5, 6. He's in it in 7.
Yeah.
but he wouldn't be in it in, he wouldn't be in it in six. And then obviously in nine, he's just he's a ghost or whatever he is, he's an image.
That'd be interesting. I feel like it has to be the Millennium Falcon unless they took another ship.
I don't. That's what I mean. So I don't know. So you guys tell me when whether or not. So either way, he's only in it. He's only in the Falcon for a split second.
Yeah.
Or he's not in it at all. Yeah. Which is also interesting because he was so synonymous with the Falcon, and then you know Lando, who was his ship, is in it the whole time with Neem-Num, and they have a great rapport, the two of them, and even
them.
Yeah, and even the fact that he comes in and Ackbar and the famous "It's a trap," like all of that, and you have that moment of shields not being down and that trust that Lando has. Speaking of trust, though, no one ever really brings up when Han wakes up from being frozen in carbonite. The last he remembers, Lando duped him. Lando screwed him over.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't part of the whole thing when Lando came back around. He's 3 years or 2 years back or a year back, whatever how long it is. He's pretty trusting Lando right away.
That's true.
Yeah.
But talking about that scene specifically, I think that was so well acted. Like the fact that we have some idea of what it would be like to wake up from being frozen in carbonite. He's created that emotion.
Yeah.
Some idea.
Relax. You have motion sickness. And he's just like, who are you? Someone who loves you. It's great.
That was one of my favorite surprises when I first watched the film. Yeah. I was like, Leia, that's you.
Yeah, the way they did it with monitoring those voices and everything, too. It's like.
Then the Chewie hug was so adorable.
Oh, yeah. I'm all right, pal. I'm all right. That whole scene, the entire Tatooine stuff really works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the. Because we know the fate of. Oh, my God. I'm losing. I can't remember Boba Fett. Holy shit, Bib Fortuna. When Bib Fortuna comes out, he's got no respect. Like he walks, he's like Rodney Dangerfield. He walks out and he comes up to the droids and they're like, yeah, we can't give this message to you. Oh, cha! He gets pissed off. He didn't do anything. He just walks like, okay, forget it. And then he must be allowed to speak. You idiot! Slaps him away. And then Boba Fett just blows him away. When he walks in the series, just kills his ass. So he was a waste.
Yeah, he really was.
Yeah, but he was great.
Which is interesting why we saw him in the image with Book of Boba.
Well, right? He's dead. He's dead. They blow him away.
But didn't we see him in some sort of thing with like imagery for Book of Boba previews?
Really, I don't know because he's sitting on the throne all big and fat when they walk in and they blow him away.
In the scene. Yeah. I forgot. That was the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. They just.
I thought you were saying he got blown away in return. I was like,
no.
What?
No. In
the scene.
In the end of season two.
He's just been gluttonous, feeding on.
Yeah, he's trying to be a big load like Jabba, but he just never had the respect. And within seconds, Boba just took his ass out. Yeah, so that ties. Like, it all ties in. How much time they spend in Jabba's palace is the big question. And people always forget. Like, I thought it blew up. It's like, no, that's just the ship.
Yeah, because they had to travel to the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think what else is are we missing as far as, I mean, the stuff that of Luke, you want this. The whole lightsaber battle. Like, when Leia gets shot, R2, they fix R2 pretty quick after he gets shot. He gets messed up in two out of the three original trilogy movies.
Yeah, he gets wrecked just everywhere he goes.
Yeah,
he gets the swamp.
That's right. He gets spit out in the swamp in Empire. He also gets like shocked, in the second movie, but he doesn't.
A New Hope, he gets like thrown.
He gets shot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he gets shot in the battle. He goes, I lost R2. And then they fix him up, but he gets wrecked in this one. But then he's fixed him
keeps
up.
Keeps pushing.
They keep pushing. He keeps pushing through. And 3PO only really gets wrecked in Empire.
Yeah,
he gets really. I mean, he gets a little hurt in New Hope, but this one they think he's a god. He's floating around on chairs.
He's living life.
He's living life.
Like it's against my programming to fake it.
A deity. And Luke's like cracking up in the back when he says that too. Yeah, there's some great moments. There's some good, and the speeder is a little convenient part of the speeder that I'm super forgiving for and don't care. When he jumps on the speeder, and it's such a great iconic scene when they're flying through. He's jam their systems. Just hit that switch in the middle, and they just jam all the systems. It's like so one speeder's bike can jam all the systems. Like
at what if, one time?
What if some what, one of the stormtroopers got really drunk? He's like, hey guys, check this out. I can't talk to anybody. And the other ones that just pop up, they're jammed too.
So, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. No, but I love that scene so much.
It's great. And even, you know, when Wicket shows up and how jittery he is. I didn't remember, because people always talk about it. You know, in the original cut, Ewoks didn't blink.
Oh, I didn't know
they
that.
They added in that they blink now, because people said it was creepy.
That would be so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, have to, because the Ewoks, the fur is a little bit hard to digest, like, because it looks a little bit fake.
Yeah.
But that, you have to have the eyes moving.
You got
to
have the eyes moving. What? No.
Well, Warwick, like a Teletubby.
You know, it's true. Warwick Davis. He was like a little kid when he was in this and as Wicket. And there is that scene that I always, you know, as much as people talk about the Ewoks, that's devastating. And the music's so good in this one, too. Obviously, John Williams, it kind of goes without saying at this point. But
yeah,
the mini AT-AT is shooting at everybody. And then these two Ewoks are running for it. And then one of them craps out, you know, and tries to wake him up, and like it's a devastating scene. It's always been one.
I love the Ewoks. I obviously a big Chewie fan. I would like if they were on Kashyyyk, but I do, especially when I was a kid watching this, I did like the Ewoks, and I like loved what it brought out of Leia and C-3PO and all of them, really.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I don't dislike it like a lot of people do. I do find it silly that all of the Ewoks could just beat the stormtroopers with rocks when they're throwing at them like that. That, like, I like the idea that they're using the big logs and smashing the things with the logs, and, you know, even some of the things tripping up the speeders and throwing ropes on them and making them blow up. All that stuff is great. It's when they're jumping on them and like hitting them in the head and it's like actually doing something. It's like,
yeah, they should have like crossbows.
They should be doing something a little bit more. Like they're shooting the arrows up, and the arrows would just go pink and fall off. They have a little bit too much, I think, power. But and then the silly Tarzan scream. I'm never gonna accept the Tarzan scream. Why? You know, it'd be really funny if Chewie was on the rope, and then he did the Tarzan scream. That'd have him do that. And Richard Marquand directed this movie. Come on, saw George. This movie was George was just sitting over his shoulder telling him exactly what to do. Because I think that as much as George was responsible for Kirshner coming in, I don't think George liked that Kirshner got the kind of
Empire love
that he got, and like, you know, that it was the best one, and that, you know, it was he didn't have control of directing it the way that he did for the Marquand, because Spielberg was supposed to direct this one.
Like, oh, the third?
Yeah, they had him. There was like a big, sorry, he was supposed to do it. I can't remember. It was because of union stuff or whatever it was. He couldn't do it. I can't remember why exactly. But then they got this guy, Marquand, who basically was just. And I don't know all the story, so I'm definitely misquoting it. But I think that at one point Marquand like talked to some of the extras or actors the wrong way, and Harrison Ford was like, "Come here," he talked to him that way again. It was like basically Harrison Ford is going to be able to bitch Marquand pretty easy. So, but he was just kind of director in name. From what everyone was saying, nobody really talks about Marquand.
No,
because they know. It was Lucas. Lucas really directed this one, directed the first one, or the fourth one, rather, episode four. And then episode five was Kirshner's.
Yeah, because episode, you could see Empire is the most serious. And I think George, like, never wanted to be that serious.
Right, yeah. It's true. It's absolutely true. I mean, Revenge of the Sith is probably his. That's the most serious, right? And even that has some Dexter, and there's some silly things in there too. But for the most, that's his most serious one. But either way, it plays like that, because the serious moments work in this movie. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like I love the stuff with the Emperor. I love this, like the score, the Sith score in this is just gorgeous. So.
Yeah, and the stuff with Yoda. There's a lot of serious stuff in it, but the Ewoks, I think, is more playful. I think, like, a lot of like, the setup of even what happened at Jabba's Palace. Like, there's the band and stuff. That's more.
Yeah, and that was added later on down the line where George could put more stuff in there. But anyway, look, that's the rewatch for Return of the Jedi. We finished the OT. And we did it without Mike. I think he did the first one with us, right? I think he did episode 4 with us.
I can't wait to. I haven't watched Force Awakens since it came out.
Oh, really?
Maybe like it's been year. I think 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. So that's about. I mean, that's about. Well, it's came out 2015.
So I watched it like 8 times.
When it came out in the theater?
I watched it 4 times in theater.
Wow.
I was so obsessed.
You were just ready to go.
I was obsessed with Rey.
I'm curious how the rewatch is going to play for you now, considering that you know what comes after it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we all went in a little wide-eyed, like, when we saw it the first time. So I'm also curious
with the possibilities.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays for me, because it had jumped pretty high for me in my ranking when I saw it, and it has dropped lower since, but I think that's because of
what happened
with 8 and 9.
Yeah,
but anyway, let's see what happens. We start the new trilogy. God help us all, because not only for the just very curious to what's going to happen in this comment section with the new movies, but
be nice.
But we're almost done, because we're approaching Boba Fett. It comes out in December. We've got about 3 episodes left of this rewatch series. We're also doing the rewatch series of Spider-Man right now. We just finished episode 3. That's on the channel. I have an Eternals review coming out on Sunday, which is a non-spoiler, just myself for a little bit. And then Coy and I go pretty deep into it on Monday's Big Thing. So check that out. Thank you to Steph Sabraw. Thank you to you guys. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch you on the flip side, homie. Make sure that you go to Apple Podcast and Spotify and all that stuff. I think Sith Council is a great listen to audio, but am I biased? Yeah, but I'm right.
I can feel.